Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Maya Norfleet. It's time now for our monthly food segment. That's where we talk about some of the latest restaurant openings and closings in the St. Louis area. Joining us as usual is STLPR digital editor Jessica Rogan. What up?
Hey, Maya.
And here with us this month is Lauren Healy, the executive editor of Sauce Magazine. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, we usually start these monthly conversations with some big restaurant news, but this month, we need to start with some industry publication news. And that is, a few weeks ago, Sauce Magazine announced that it was acquired by STL Bucket List. So, Lauren, what does this mean for Sauce?
I think it's going to be so good for us. I'm not sure if you're aware, but the last year it has, basically been just me and a very small team of freelancers. So now I'm going to have a whole team to collaborate with. I've got photographers, videographers. Ooh. It's just going to open us up to a whole new world of coverage, and I could not be more excited.
I'm excited for you because to have a full team is a big old difference than just you rolling solo, basically.
It's impossible for me alone to eat at every restaurant in St. Louis.
You need some help.
I certainly do.
And remind us, Jessica, what is STL Bucket List?
So STL Bucket List started as social media influencers. They have a huge Instagram page still. And it really grew into a marketing agency of sorts. And so very St. Louis restaurant scene focused.
Okay.
And also just St. Louis booster kind of marketing agency. So, you know, you go on there, you see everything, but like from the latest hot eat. Mm-hmm. So Sauce makes total sense to me in that context, to like cultural events. It's really fun to follow.
That's great. Congrats. So STL Bucket List bought Sauce from Chris Keating. And Keating was also the former owner of Riverfront Times, and he had bought Sauce in 2023. But now, there's some legal issues. So, Jessica, what's going on here?
Yeah, so Chris Keating, who bought Sauce, when full disclosure, I'd worked for the Riverfront Times before coming to St. Louis Public Radio. And he had purchased it to be kind of like an extension of the Riverfront Times food coverage. And when the RFT went under, you know, no one was really sure what was going to happen with Sauce, but he held on to it. Unfortunately, over time, things slimmed down at Sauce. There were actually layoffs in September. Lauren kind of alluded to being one of the only remaining people left. You know, Keating said at the time that they might stop printing. I don't think that actually ever happened. No. Okay. But, you know, I think from the outside, we're all wondering, like, what's going to happen to Sauce? Mm-hmm. So the sale is very exciting, also just as an observer of the food scene. But, you know, very shortly after the sale was announced, Allison Mace, who was a co-founder of Sauce, sued Keating, basically saying that, you know, she had never been fully paid for Sauce.
Okay.
So, you know, the sale price was like just under $500,000. And she is alleging she's owed about $200,000.
Well, that is an issue. Let's get into some restaurant news now. The restaurant openings. Let's talk about Bel Air Social Club in Central West End, Jessica. Tell me what you know.
Yeah, so Bel Air Social Club, very interesting opening, opened about mid-month, and it's actually in the Bel Air Motel on Lindell. If you've driven by, it's very distinctive.
Okay. I'm driving down Lindell.
Yeah. Picturing it?
Yep.
Yeah, it looks like a motel, but like kind of an upscale, fun, retro vibe. This concept is, you know, what we'd call multi-concept. It's like they've got a coffee bar serving Goshen coffee, cocktail program, Pizza Via is serving pizza from there. Okay. If you don't know Pizza Via, it's opened by the guy who started like Pizza Head and Pizzioli. So okay. like really delicious local like handcrafted pizza. And the whole thing has this really fun like 70s vibe to it. So the colors are kind of like that burnt umber,
okay.
You know, like greens and just a really fun opening that is open late in the Central West End, which is nice.
Do you know how late?
Midnight on the weekends.
Oh, nice. That, good. Yeah. We need more of that. And speaking of pizza, Lauren, Fordo's Killer Pizza is now open in the Grove. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so that is a niche food group concept from Gerard Kraft's team, and it's some of the best pizza in town. And in fact, Sauce named that a best new restaurant when it initially opened in 2022 in City Foundry. So I think that it's a really great partnership for Urban Chestnut. I think it's going to get a lot more people going in there. So we are super excited to see how that goes.
Nice. And Jessica, this is not the first time a restaurant or a brewery or a tasting room has been tried. Earlier this year, Four Hands had a tasting room in downtown. We saw High Point Drive-In open a spot there. So what do you make of these sort of like restaurant-brewery combinations and restaurants?
Well, I think it shows that, you know, it's really hard to operate a whole brewery and a food concept. So mm-hmm. it's better to outsource that. But in all seriousness, there's a lot more interest these days, I think, in like where we say like chef-driven concepts. So like, you know, it's not just the brewery, but it's like a place that has its own name,
right.
like Fordo's Killer Pizza. And this isn't the only Gerard Kraft concept that's like been in that space. Like Brass Burger was there last year. And you know, it just makes a lot of sense. You want to have really good food with your drink. And yeah. so, you know, you can go there and get both.
And Lauren, what is your take on the whole concept of like drinkery and eatery combining forces?
I think it's really smart. Like Jessica was saying with the chef driven thing, it's not just pizza. It's really good pizza.
Yeah.
And people are, you know, they want really good pizza.
Yes. Absolutely. So are we heading towards a Fordo's Killer Pizza dynasty? Because there's already one in the City Foundry.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I hope so. I'd love to get one a little closer to where I live.
Okay. Heck yeah. Now, moving on from Fordo's Killer Pizza, we have a restaurant that has closed. Jessica, Manileno. Charge it to my mind and not my heart, in Tower Grove South. Why did this one close?
You know, we don't know. So if you had ever walked by Manileno on the weekend, you would have been like, oh my gosh, there are a lot of people in that very tiny little restaurant. It was very popular Filipino food, and it had a really like popping cafe with a lot of Filipino like inspired pastries, a lot of ube, and a really impressive like coffee program as well. And you know, it always had like small hours, like weekend hours, and then they just gradually didn't open and quietly closed. But you know, it's not all bad news because there was an opening in that space just this month. Fo Long relocated from down South Grand, just moved a few blocks into that space.
I love Fo Long.
Yeah, and I've heard that they actually purchased that whole building, so where the King and I used to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, good things will be coming.
Ah, that's exciting. And then, so Fo Long has moved into the new old Manileno spot, and now we're going to move on to Pierce Creek and Creve Coeur. Lauren, tell me about that.
Yeah, so this has taken over the former Cone's Kosher Deli space.
Okay.
So this is an offshoot of a farm called Pierce Creek Cattle Company. And a couple years ago, they launched their Moobile food truck, which has some really good... Moobile.
Okay,
yes,
gotcha.
Yes, Moo with capital M-O-O. but they have some really great burgers, and they're really proud of their tallow fries. I know that's all the rage these days. But anyway, so this... this new restaurant is going to be offering some of the stuff that the food truck did, but it's also a market. So they've got some local produce and meat. They've got a bakery and they've got dry goods. So I've not been out there yet, but definitely need to go check it out soon.
Okay. Mobile. That's
yeah,
very cute. So that was Pierce Creek and Creve Coeur. But we have another closure to talk about now, too. El Burro Loco in the Central West End. And Jessica, I understand this has to do with some unpaid taxes. Tell me what you know about that.
Yeah, so what we know is a lot like, you know, talk about Manileño, like some place that was very popular just suddenly closes and you don't know why. Except in this case, there was a big hint, you know, in Missouri's case nest system.
Good old case net.
Yeah, good old case nets. you know, pending, you know, legal action against the owner for unpaid taxes. And the Post-Dispatch reported quite a hefty number, like $350,000 in delinquent sales tax. So, you know, they had actually closed their downtown location last year, I think around the same time. So just shows that, like, restaurants can look like they're doing well from the outside, and, you know, you just don't know.
So when, like, a restaurant specifically is behind on taxes, though, what is that? Does that tell you anything about the business or how it's ran?
Well, I think what happens, and this is not just restaurants, is that, you know, when businesses start to fail, people can think, like, oh, hey, like, I'm just not going to pay my taxes this month. I'll catch up. I'll be able to pay them all together.
Casual. I'm just going to pay those.
You know, it seems like, because, you know, like, you can probably get away with, like, one quarter not paying your taxes if you catch up, but it's impossible to catch up, like, because once you've made that kind of, like, decision about how things are going, like, it's not alone. Like, there are other stuff that's happening.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not just going to be the tax. It's going to be rising costs of everything. Well, okay. El Burro Loco. Let's talk about something that you, Lauren, are very excited about and are suggesting that people go out to, and that's Cottle Village in Cottleville. And apparently it's got everything. It's a restaurant plus a distillery plus a event space, and you got to try it out for yourself. So tell us what's good there.
Yeah, so it's so fun, and actually a little plug for our August issue. There's going to be a big feature in that hitting the stands next week and then on saucemagazine.com. But, I mean, the whole restaurant space is so beautiful. The food was great. I mean, everything I had was good. Particularly, they have some mac and cheese giving French onion soup vibes, and I am so here for it. They also had a really good Philly cheesesteak. Just phenomenal food. Drinks were really good, too, like more inventive than you would think for out in Cottleville. So I think it's just really cool to see Cottleville growing like it is. If I lived out there, I would be there every weekend.
Do you have, like, what was your favorite drink that you tried?
I had a Cappelletti Spritz, which is kind of like a grown-up, more bitter version of the Aperol Spritz.
All right.
It's nice that they have something a little different.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Aperol Spritz is tried and true, but sometimes it's fun to try something new.
Get a little twist in there.
Yeah.
And then as we close out this month with something that Sauce Magazine is very well known for, and that's Food Truck Friday, which takes place in Tower Grove Park. And there's still a few left this year, a few Food Truck Fridays left. So what can people expect this coming?
Yeah, so we'll be on the southwest corner of the park from 4 to 8. And we've got the Cree Rider Band playing music. They are really great. So we've got about 20 food trucks. We've got local drinks and just good vibes. And then we do have a few more this season. So if you go to saucefoodtruckfriday.com, you can see the full list. We also have those events on our Sauce Magazine Facebook page. And I also want to do a quick little plug. We are relaunching the Sauce Podcast on August 19th. So I'm going to be hosting, and we are going to be having some really great conversations with some of the really great people in our local hospitality industry.
Now that you have some extra help, help to get in there. You can make more content. Are there, what is the kind of variety of the food trucks that you can share about what's coming up?
Oh, I mean, we've got everything from burgers and chicken. We've got tacos. We've got noodles. I mean, it does vary a little bit every time, but there's really going to be something for everyone. We do post a map on social media because those lines get a little long later in the day. And we'll also have maps over at our Red Sauce tent right in front of the music stage. So if there's something in particular you want, make sure you check out the map. That should go on Facebook and Instagram probably by Thursday or Friday morning. And then, yeah, just check it out and plan your route in advance so you don't get caught up in those lines.
Do you have any pro tips on how to avoid the lines? Like, how early should people get there?
You should get there as soon as possible.
Starting at what time?
Well, it starts at 4. If you can get off work that early, I really recommend it. I always get my food as soon as I get there because by the time everyone's getting off work around 5, it definitely picks up.
Absolutely. Jessica, it's been, you know, Food Truck Friday's been around forever. What's the experience like in your experience?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's nothing better because I live very close to just like walk over and be like, hey, you know, I don't feel like cooking tonight. It's Friday. There's a party. Also, Lauren's there. So, you know, it's great to just walk over. And even if you have to stand in line, it's fine. There's music and people to hang out with.
Things to entertain yourself while you're waiting for your food.
And it's free. Can't beat that.
I mean, you bury the lead. It's free.
Free concert.
Oh, yeah.
The food's not free. You do have to pay for that.
Pay for the food. Stay for the free fun. Food Truck Friday. Jessica Rogan is St. Louis Public Radio's digital editor. Thank you for joining us again.
Thanks, Maya.
And Lauren Healy is the executive editor of Sauce Magazine. Thank you.
Thank you.
And before we go, we want your help for an upcoming show. In 1 month, millions of migratory birds will fly through the St. Louis region as they head south for the winter. It's an exciting time for birders, and that's exactly who we want to hear from. Where have you made your most exciting bird sightings? What do you love about the birding process? Email us at talk@stlpr.org. You can also call and leave us a voicemail at 314-516-6397. That's 314-516-NEWS.
This episode was produced and engineered by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer. Podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.